For more than 18 years, Ellen DeGeneres has hosted a daytime talk show that includes lots of games, pranks, and prize giveaways. Here's a listen to her taking then-First Lady Michelle Obama to the CVS pharmacy in 2016 to get her ready for life after the White House.
Here we go, Michelle. There's coupons because, you know, you're going to need these probably. It's been a while. And you push the basket because nobody's going to push it for you. CVS, of course. CVS stands for cotton, Vaseline, and stuff.
That doesn't.
It does. Do you want anything from the
what
coupons?
What are these?
That's a personalized fan.
This is a fan?
It seems like it is. Let's open it and see.
Just before I got in the way. This is new. Wait, don't, Ellen, don't open these up in the store.
Why not?
What if I don't like it?
Well, then let's put it back.
No, don't do that.
DeGeneres announced this month that her upcoming season will be her last. This comes following allegations last year that her show was a toxic work environment and a decline in ratings. The daytime talk show is a long-running TV genre that's changed and grown, or not, with the times. And even if you don't watch them, it's very likely you come across viral clips of them online. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you now or have you ever watched daytime TV talk shows? What were your favorites? Were there ones you hated but watched anyway? Who would you love to see a talk show maybe in the post-Ellen era? Were you an Ellen fan yourself? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Elena Levine is a professor in media, cinema, and digital studies in the Department of English at UW-Milwaukee. She's the author of several TV-related books, including her latest, Her Stories, Daytime Soap Opera, and U.S. Television History. Elena, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
What do you think it is about Ellen and the show that made it so successful for the last, 17 years or so?
Well, Ellen has always been a really appealing public figure and personality. She has her roots in comedy and is a kind of has a happy kind of go lucky, fun loving sort of vibe about her. And it seemed that her show came about and really kind of captured a sort of feel good moment for daytime talk shows, particularly after the kind of big reign of the real tabloid style over the top talk shows that were so popular in the 90s. And so, you know, that I think helped to account for her success as her general sort of appealing style and friendly nature and how different that was from the kinds of daytime talk shows that we'd seen a lot of kind of up till that point.
One thing that made it surprising from the vantage point of the 1990s, she came out when she was actually the star of a sitcom named after her. At the time, that was a very controversial thing. So the thought of her moving into this daytime talk show role and having this really successful long run at it, it wasn't a gimme at that time, was it?
No, I mean, in some ways, it's very telling of how much changed socially, culturally, politically around issues of acceptance of lesbian and gay people and lifestyles. You know, we see that in lots of ways, like the, you know, a passage of gay marriage in that time frame. But it was shocking, I think, for a lot of people when she did come out in the late 90s and when her show started to deal with not only Ellen herself being a lesbian, but the character she played also being gay. And that made a big kind of cultural splash at the time, certainly. And I think people were sort of more ready for that then than they might have been 10 years before that. But the fact that she kind of reached this very broad appeal category of being this talk show host not that long after that time is really telling. And again, I think really shows us how quickly our culture was shifting to a kind of broader openness towards LGBT people and issues. And it really, I think Ellen, you know, she's kind of both benefits from that shift and arguably she's one of the factors that enabled that shift because people liked Ellen and Ellen was gay. And so maybe people who weren't familiar with gay people in their own lives or didn't feel like it was something very familiar to them were able to start feeling more comfortable with it because they felt like they knew Ellen, especially once she started that daytime talk show.
Now, we don't know exactly why the show is going to be ending after the next season, but we had these revelations about a toxic workplace culture, bullying of staff, especially by an executive producer there, that was really in contrast to that happy-go-lucky, fun image of Ellen. How big a problem do you think that was?
Yeah, it's certainly no coincidence that those allegations and those concerns about the workplace coincide pretty closely with the end of the series. I don't know, I have no inside specific knowledge of what exactly has gone on there or where the decision for ending the show came about. And there's, of course, lots of players that make decisions about things like that, like ending a long running show like this. And so it's possible that the end would have been coming soon anyways, and that the allegations really kind of hasten that end. So that's totally possible, because our culture as a whole seems to be starting to have much less tolerance for those kinds of behaviors. And so it made things tricky, I think, for the show to continue, especially, like you say, because Ellen's persona on camera, on screen, is so positive and friendly. And obviously, I don't know her. I mean, maybe that's what she's like in real life. Maybe she's a really difficult person in real life. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Regardless, her name was on the show, and the show has these associations with it now that are pretty negative, at least for people who pay attention to that kind of those kinds of issues. And so certainly that contributes, I think, to probably everyone behind the scenes deciding this was the right time for the show to end.
We're talking to Elena Levine from UW-Milwaukee, professor in media, cinema, and digital studies there, looking at Ellen, her announcement that this would be the last season of her daytime talk show, and the history of daytime talk. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you watched a show like Ellen lately? Were you an Oprah fan? Do you go back to Phil Donahue, Geraldo, Morton Downey Jr.? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. I want to widen things out, Elena. Once upon a time, when you didn't have 800 cable channels, if you flipped on the TV during the day, you were going to watch soap operas, the subject of one of your books, or you're going to watch daytime talk. Can you talk about the rise of daytime talk shows as a genre?
Sure. I mean, daytime talk shows have been a part of, broadcast TV since it started in the 1950s. The talk shows have taken on different form at different times. In the early days, they were usually more like a kind of tips, homemaking tips, cooking demonstrations, that kind of thing. There was some of that. And then there were shows that were also more like a kind of variety show, where there'd be like performances, entertainment, that sort of thing in the 50s. And those forms continue in various ways. Although, again, the daytime schedule kind of starts to really fill up with soap operas and with game shows, those sorts of things as well. And some of those, soap operas in particular, become really dominant in the 60s and become extremely powerful and popular and become a big part of that daytime schedule. But the talk shows sort of never go away. And what happens in the 1970s is Donahue comes along, and it really introduces a new kind of talk show with the kind of audience participation show, the show that involves kind of controversial issues starting to come up. And, Donahue, especially in those early years, treated the controversial issues he would cover in a very kind of serious, thoughtful way. Now, in years ahead, other talk shows will come along later into the 80s and the 90s that make those treat those in a much more tabloid-like fashion. And Donahue himself actually goes a little bit more in that direction over time, too. But
I want to give a listen to Phil Donahue here. In 1984, the social issue, a panel of parents of punk rockers and their kids who identify with the punk rock lifestyle. Here's a listen.
Meet Ann Morrissey, who is here with her daughter, Dareth. Dareth is 17 years old. Mrs. Morrissey, I don't have to tell you that most parents would be extremely depressed if their daughter came home one day looking like this. I assume that was your response. Shock, anger, depression? What was it?
I was extremely angry. I really went bananas.
Yeah, how old was she when this happened?
Possibly 13, 14 years old.
We're talking like it's a disease. Isn't it? How did she explain it to you, Mrs. Morrissey?
There was very poor communication until we went into counseling. And it almost broke up our family.
punk rock there, but that was a big theme in a lot of the talk shows. There was a big issue of the day and people living through it, whether chairs got thrown or not. That was kind of the style of the show, right?
For sure. And yeah, you know, definitely the talk shows, you know, they wanted to be kind of sensational and outrageous, especially, again, more over time. That clip comes from the 80s. And, you know, that was partly how they did it. But also, you know, the audience, the presumed audience for these shows was mostly women. And the idea was that women would be concerned about things like what was becoming of their children. And so there's definitely a tone in that clip and in general, in a lot of these talk shows of a kind of older generation looking at the young people and sort of being astonished and concerned about what might be going on with them. And so that is sort of a tone that you start to get definitely beginning in the 80s with the daytime talk shows that are doing this kind of issue focus and audience participation.
We're talking to Elena Levine, professor in media, cinema, and digital studies in the Department of English at UW-Milwaukee. We're talking about daytime talk shows and the end of one of the longest running ones these days, The Ellen Show. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you recently watched daytime talk shows? Were they once upon a time part of your daily routine? Do you miss them? Do you miss Oprah being on the air? Do you remember the Wilder shows, the Geraldos and Morton Downey Jr.'s and more? Call 800. Jerry Springer, was he daytime? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation with Elena Levine, professor in media, cinema, and digital studies in the Department of English at UW-Milwaukee. We're talking about the history of the daytime talk show with Ellen saying her show is going to come to an end. 800-642-1234 is the number to call if you have a memory to share, maybe of watching these shows, whether that memory was yesterday or 20 years ago. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go to a caller now. Tim is with us in Fountain City. Tim, hi.
Hello. I'd like to talk about a show that I used to watch quite a bit. I want to say late 90s, early 2000s. That was a mock show. It was a mocking talk show called Nightstand with Dick Dietrich. And it was basically making fun of the Geraldo Rivera's and the Jerry Springer type talk shows. But because you knew that it was a joke, they could take it much farther and just be absolutely ridiculous. Probably why it was on late at night rather than during the daytime and on cable rather than on broadcast.
Tim, thanks a lot for the call. And Elena, I think the format lent itself to satire. I didn't see that particular show, but I remember a lot of different satires of the daytime talk shows from Weird Al and UHF and Saturday Night Live knockoffs and things like that.
For sure. I mean, especially by the 90s, the shows got so outrageous and so over the top that they were pretty easy targets for parody. And so this example and the others that you mentioned are all places where we saw that. And I think that's when you know that a cultural phenomenon has kind of reached its peak is when it starts to get mocked as much as it was possible to mock those tabloid style shows.
Tim, thanks for the call. We should definitely spend a couple of minutes on a superstar that came out of this genre, a brand in and of herself, Oprah Winfrey from just down the highway in Chicago. Can you talk about how she shook up the daytime talk landscape?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably no better example of the success of daytime talk than Oprah. She, of course, started with a local show in Chicago and was so successful that her show was taken national. And of course, you know, there's sort of no competitor for her in terms of, you know, she quickly kind of surpassed Donahue, who'd been the kind of king of this form for a long time. And, you know, it is long ago now, but the end of her show was a real marker of an ending time in this history. And, you know, her show really varied quite broadly over the kinds of topics it covered, occasionally veering more tabloid-like, but on the whole, kind of having a little bit more of a kind of middle ground in terms of not being too outrageous. And she was a, you know, that's the root of her success and her fame, right, is that talk show. And so, you know, we think of daytime talk shows as being these strange little kind of phenomena off to the side. And yet you have somebody like Oprah Winfrey, who kind of established an entire empire rooted in her talk show fame. So, you know, she was an incredible, you know, boundary breaker in the form.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Steve is with us in Sun Prairie. Steve, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Every once in a while, I'll go to YouTube and watch old videos of different talk shows, whether it's Johnny Carson or whatever. But I recently went back and watched some Phil Donahue when he was interviewing Dr. Milton Friedman. I would encourage all guests or all listeners to go and watch those videos. They talk about the same issues that they are that's going on today. But it's done in such a respectful manner that, you know, Phil was just trying to get information from the guests. And Dr. Friedman is a brilliant man, and he treated them that way. There was no accusations of you're a bigot, you're a racist, you're a homophobe, whatever it is. It was actually about getting information and learning something. Today's world is so different.
Steve, thanks for the call. And that reminds me, I'm glad you reminded me, Phil Donahue, I do remember he did these issue things, but he also talked to big name economists and people in politics and things like that. It was a different mix, I think, Elena.
For sure. I mean, his show really introduced, you know, a really serious consideration of issues to the daytime sphere, a place that hadn't been the place for most of those conversations in the past. You know, most of the time you'd see those on a, you know, a PBS news program or something like that in the pre-cable days. And Donahue put that on during the day when most of the audience for that programming was women who were home during the day or, you know, older adults who might have, you know, been retired and were home more during the day. Not the kinds of audiences that we typically think of as, you know, very kind of serious or issue oriented programming being targeted to. And yet those are the people who were watching these shows and, of course, who are totally, you know, entitled to and deserve to have serious treatment of important issues. And Donahue did that. I mean, Oprah continued that tradition in a lot of ways, too, although she did all kinds of things beyond that as well.
Thanks for the call, Steve, at 800-642-1234. Elena, one thing, that weird thing that sticks in my mind from the old days of daytime talk, or my old days, it seems like all the shows had, and maybe they needed it to juice their ratings, they had the Nazi episode. Oprah, I remember, she had the Nazis on. Morton Downey Jr. did. Geraldo Rivera got his nose broken with it. I think there were others. And it was the same Nazis. I don't know. Could you talk about that kind of sensationalist approach to things?
Yeah, I mean, things went really over the top there for a while. Again, particularly in the early 90s, I think is the real height of that. There was no boundary that was sort of too far for these shows to go in terms of having really outrageous subject matter and things that would get people really riled up. And of course, you're right, like that was the attempt to draw the audience. And because this form was so powerful at the time, there were lots and lots of these shows on at once. And so everybody was trying to draw the audience to them and not to their competitor. And so part of it was doing these really kind of over the top, scandalous kinds of topics. There's things about kind of who we are that are getting expressed and explored in even those really outrageous kinds of programs, quite different from the serious Donahue conversation kind of program. But a lot of people felt like those shows were going too far. And I think our kind of cultural taste for them started to wane as well. And again, that's when somebody like Ellen came along and had a very different kind of tone for her show.
Now, I know, Elena, these days, given that there are so many different, not just channels you can watch live, but ways to stream entertainment, ratings for so many things are down. I think soap operas and sporting events, everything, just because there's so much choice to divide people up between it. How has this all affected daytime talk?
Well, like you say, all of broadcast TV ratings are lower than they used to be by far. So there's a much smaller audience for anything that's broadcast, you know, live over the air than there used to be. And the talk shows, you know, maybe in particular, because they don't have as much of a life on streaming platforms necessarily as scripted shows tend to do. And so they you know, their audience is certainly smaller than it once was. But there is the fact that clips from those shows do circulate online, and a lot of people do see moments of Ellen or The View or, you know, any other of the daytime talk shows in, you know, on social media, for example, where they get shared and circulated. And so even though fewer people are watching, you know, the full episodes as they air, they are still part of our culture in that people are exposed to them, even if they're not like a regular daily turn on the TV kind of viewer of them. And so it's this kind of interesting moment where we're sort of not sure how much those things are going to continue. But, you know, those kinds of programs and everything else on broadcast TV is still bringing in a lot of advertising revenue for the networks and the channels that are distributing them. And so for now, they're sticking with us. And, you know, new shows are debuting. So there's some sense that they continue to be a worthwhile form.
Do you think another big star is going to emerge in a post-Ellen world? We might not see another Oprah, say, but are we going to see another dominant figure like that?
That's a great question. I don't, you know, it's hard to imagine, again, because the reach is not what it once was. But, you know, Kelly Clarkson has had a talk show for a little while, and I've heard that people really like it and are drawn to it, find it really popular. And, you know, Drew Barrymore is starting a show. So there's still those moments happening. I don't know if we'll see anything at this scale, though. There's been lots of shows that appear, are around for a while, and then disappear. It seems kind of difficult to me to imagine something having as broad a cultural impact, definitely as Oprah did, and even Ellen, which I think was, you know, for a while there, was a program that lots of people knew about.
Elena, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us again.
My pleasure. Lots of fun talking.
Elena Levine is a professor in media, cinema, and digital studies in the Department of English at UW-Milwaukee. She's the author of books including Her Stories, Daytime Soap Opera, and U.S. Television History. She joined us today to talk about the history of daytime talk shows.